Hello everybody, it's John, and once again I'm talking to Sarah Browning about her detective work that she's doing in the Parish Church graveyard. And my goodness, she's coming up with some interesting people to talk about, and I think today's will not let us down at all. So over to you, Sarah, and tell us about this interesting one, please.
Oh, thank you. This particular grave is one that we have covered on one of our tours, which you and I talked about at an earlier juncture. Once a month, we run tours in the graveyard for anybody who can attend. They're free. We do six graves over the course of an hour, and we just tell the story of those people, sort of covered under a theme each month. Our first one was the Commonwealth War Grave Commission graves, and this is one of the stories we told that day.
All right. Yes.
So, and it's for a young man named Peter Carroll, who is actually quite hard to find because he doesn't have the traditional white stone, CWGC stone that we sort of think of when we think of these graves, the Portland stone.
Ah, oh, I see. Yes.
White marble-ish looking thing.
Yes. So he doesn't have one of those.
No, no. He was, he literally is a blink and you'll miss him grave. There's a proper stone atop him for two other people, and then his details are on the plinth of the stone.
Oh.
So if it's autumn, you've got to kick leaves out of the way to see his name. You won't know it's there unless you go looking for it.
So how come you took such an interest in that then? How did you come to spot it?
Well, there's a list of the CWGC graves on their website.
Yeah.
So we knew which ones we were looking for.
Yeah.
And there is a transcript that is existing that we're updating at the moment that lists the position of each grave in the graveyard. So we knew where to look to go find it. But this is another reason why we did the tour, because people sort of who go in casually looking, they'll see the three white Portland marble ones, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
That'll be the end of it. They'll think, oh yes, war graves. But there's 100 war graves, practically, in that graveyard. The Commonwealth war graves are for people who died either in service or as a result of injuries or illness sustained during service.
Yes.
And the stone is where they are buried or where they're thought to be buried. So most of the war graves in the graveyard aren't Commonwealth war grave stones because they're actually buried in Europe. And they have a stone over there.
Over there. Yes. I'm with you. Right.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, back with this one.
Yes, so back to this one. That's just a little history lesson for everybody. So this is the grave of Peter Carroll. So Peter was born in December 1887 to Patrick and Marianne Murphy Carroll, who had married near the beginning of the same year in Ardee, which is in County Louth in Ireland. So in 1901, he could be found living at Lamb's Lane in Ardee with his mother and grandmother and siblings. Peter was the eldest, born when his mother Marianne was only 21. She and her mother Bessie are listed as lace workers, and Peter is in school. Come 1911, and only Peter is now remaining at Lamb's Lane, living alone and working as a laborer. The census return shows that he spoke both English and Irish and was a Roman Catholic. The 1901 census doesn't list Marianne as widowed, but tracking Patrick down beyond his marriage proved nigh on impossible. There's a lot of Patrick Carrolls in that part of Ireland.
Right, yeah.
Knowing which one is which is not going to happen, really. So most of the rest of what we know about Peter comes from the newspaper article about his funeral and his last letter home. The newspaper article about his funeral is really astounding because there's a photograph of his coffin being borne through the streets. The service was done at St. Joseph's because, like I say, he was Catholic. And they brought him down in a procession to Christ Church graveyard, and there were lots and lots of people there. It's mentioned in the newspaper article that he was a particular favorite of the nurses and doctors at Centerville Hospital. Yes, which is where he died. And that, you know, that there were all sorts of people who wanted to come and see this young man buried. And there was a gun salute and everything.
Get away.
Yeah, everything. and the priest, you know, did the officiating over his burial there in the graveyard as well with the vicar at the time attending, just looking on. And it was a proper interfaith sort of ceremony. Really showed him a lot of respect.
Combined operations, eh?
Absolutely. Now, I mentioned there's a stone above him, and the stone above him is for two people, Gilbert and Elizabeth Halstead. So you might be wondering what the relationship is between Peter Carroll and the Halsteads, because they're all buried together, but the Halsteads aren't Irish. They're a Tomerton family. So yeah, Gilbert was a Todd lad, born and baptized at Mankenholes Methodist.
Right.
Not born in Mankenholes Methodist, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he joined St. John's Ambulance at the start of the war when he was quite young. And as soon as he was old enough to, I guess, go abroad, he got stationed in Cork and was trained there and then went to the front back and forth a few times. So I wondered at first if he had met Peter either in Cork or at the front, or if they met later at Centerville Hospital where Peter died. When you look at the application for the stone to be given the CWGC designation after it was formed post-war, it's Mrs. F. Halstead who is mentioned as the contact. So that will have been Gilbert's father, Frank's wife, his mother.
Yes.
And we know from the book Tomerton and the Great War that there was a Mrs. Frank Halstead who was one of the volunteer nurses at Centerville Hospital.
Oh.
So that's the link. And I'm going to divert now from the text that I gave out when we did the tour to say that after the tour, we were contacted by Steve Wright, who is working with Brian Earnshaw currently on a book about all the Todd men who died in the First World War. And he said that he used to know Terry Halstead,
yes,
who was Gilbert and Elizabeth's son.
Ah, right, Gilbert, yes. He used to work for the co-op, I think.
Ah, yeah. There we go. And he said that the story behind them being together was that his parents had bought a plot at Christchurch for themselves. And then when Peter died, they put him there because they felt so sorry for him. Because he had no family back home, apart from this one cousin.
This one cousin, right.
Yeah. And so he went there. And then at some later point when the parents died, their children forgot they had a plot there and bought them another plot elsewhere at Christchurch and buried them there. So there was a spare plot belonging to the Halstead family at this point, and Gilbert and Elizabeth took it. When they died.
Yes. I see.
So that's why they're all together. Interestingly enough, Elizabeth Halstead was originally Elizabeth Whittaker, and she was from Limerick, so she was Irish.
Get away.
No, but she's no relation to Peter that we could find any connection of. Probably what happened was Gilbert met her when he was in Cork.
Yes.
For some reason or other. And after the war, it was 1920, they got married. He went back and they married in Ireland.
In Ireland, right.
And he brought her back to Tomerton after that.
Ah.
So there's lots of little coincidences, but they don't mean anything. The story really is that somebody who worked there felt sorry for him and had a spare plot going and made sure he got a proper burial.
To be buried there.
Yep.
Wow, so, that's fascinating.
Exactly. So the last bit of the story that I read out on the tour was around Peter's cousin, because like I say, in the newspaper article it mentions that he had two brothers and a sister, and the sister was in Canada and the two brothers were also serving, and that he had no parents who were alive at that point. So we have a copy of Peter's last letter home, because what happened was, in that letter to his cousin, he says some things to her that basically later on were used as evidence of what he wanted in terms of his final wishes for what he was owed from the army, his belongings, basically his last will and testament.
His last will and testament,
yes. Yeah, he didn't have a formal one, but this letter existed.
This will do, right.
So it's available to see online. So we were able to have it to read on the tour. So I'll just read that to finish off.
Go on then,
so, So in 1911, his cousin Lizzie Donnelly lived at 2 Lambs Lane, and Peter was at 13. So they shared neighbors and relatives at close quarters, which will explain maybe part of what's in this letter. So it's dated April 12, 1915, and it reads, "Dear Lissy, I am writing you these few lines to know how you all are. For God's sake, don't be angry with me for not writing to you. Oh, if you only knew what I'd suffered, you would pray for me. I am lying on a bed 11 weeks now. I would not be able to write to you today either, only it is a warm day, and they put me sitting in a chair. I am in consumption. They are going to put me out on a balcony in a few days or so. Lizzie, I am very lonesome. God bless you, and write to me soon. Maybe this is the last I will be able to write to you, but you will once in a while. A kind nurse lady gave me 5 stamps. And now, for fear anything would happen to me, and that I should not be able to write, you will get word from here. What you will do is write to New Townard, 4th Battalion Staff Barracks, to Quartermaster Kirk. And if you get no reply, write to the accountant, 4th Battalion Accountant's Office, Belfast, and tell him that I was at the front with the 2nd Battalion Royal Irish Rifles, and any money or anything coming to me is yours by will. I want you to do this only if you get a letter that anything happened to me. I know you of old, so I know that I need not tell you to not mention anything about the nature of my illness to anybody, not even to friends. What they won't know won't trouble them. Tell me, is John McCoy at home? And all the news. Good luck, Rosie and all. Yours, Peter Carroll. And Peter died on May 1st, which was 19 days after he wrote that letter.
Oh, my words.
There we go.
My goodness.
Yep, so that's the story of Peter Carroll.
Yes, thank you. And what an interesting story that is. Good heavens. So a lot of these gravestones than meets the eye. Well, thank you for that, Sarah. I don't know if we shall see you again for any more, but I wouldn't mind if you dig into that.
We have a lot of these, so yes, anytime. Yeah, yeah.
So thanks for that. I'm sure our readers and listeners will be very interested in that. So thanks again.
Thank you.